Good evening. Come in, won't you? Why, what's the matter? Surely you're not nervous. Perhaps it will calm if I tell you a story.
We are met to call from out of the past. Stories, strange and weird.
Tales of mystery and terror by radio's masters of the macabre.
Stories of the supernatural, the supernormal, dramatizing our fantasy, the mystery, the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginary plays, we urge you calmly, seriously, to turn off your radio now.
Welcome back to The Horror. On the show this week, we'll hear from Nightfall, series produced by the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation from July 4th, 1980 to June 24th of 1983, produced 107 episodes. Our story today is from December 12th, 1980. It's titled, Where Do We Go From Here?
In the dream, you are falling. Lost in the listening distance as dark locks in. Nightfall. Good evening. Tonight's story will have a special place in the hearts of individuals who seem to enjoy smashing their automobiles into other vehicles. The play from the distinctive pen of Max Ferguson is called Where Do We Go From Here?
What in God's name's happening? I'm lying somewhere. And I'm cold.
What happened?
I can't even remember who I am. Oh, I just want to sleep.
Did you see that car roll?
Voices. People.
What on earth happened?
Something awful's happened.
Some jerk got right in front of him.
I can't collect my thoughts. Just waves of cold, gray fog.
Anybody got a blanket?
There's one in the back of my car. I'll get it.
And what about an ambulance? Anybody call one?
My husband's falling across the highway.
Okay, fella, you're going to be all right. Just take it. Stranger, Ben. Hey, can you hear me? Face just starting to take shape.
Are you all right? Can you speak?
I hear you, but I can't make a sound. What happened to me? God, if I could only remember.
Wow, look at those skid marks, huh?
Skid? Who said that? Would I hit someone? Killed him? No, it's got to be a dream.
Here's a blanket. Not too clean, I'm afraid.
He'll do just fine. Just tuck it around him. At least we can do is keep him warm.
Is he? He's not dead, is he?
Or damned if I know, lady. And certainly no blood, just a nasty-looking bruise on his forehead. And he's not moving a muscle. I asked him if he's all right, but not a sound, not even a groan.
Oh, he could be in shock.
Jeez, that's for sure. I was right behind him. He was doing close to 80 when he rolled. It scared the hell out of me, I can tell you.
Those poor eyes. They're staring right through us. I wonder if he can hear us.
So, Mr. X, you've been in an accident. And now, you're lying at the side of the highway with people staring at you. Wondering if you're a corpse.
Will anybody get that other car's number?
Nah, I took off like a scalded cat.
No, wait. I was at the airport. Yes, I was saying goodbye to someone. Oh, head's spinning. But there's a name. I was saying goodbye Janice. Janice, my wife. Mrs. Neville. Edwards.
Look, did you see that?
See what?
Well, it was just there a second, but I'm sure he smiled.
Oh, no.
Not bloody likely as they said no.
All the pieces are starting to fall into place. Janice is in the air right now on her way to Havana. It's our first decent holiday since we were married. I was going to fly down tomorrow. Oh, why the hell didn't I leave with her? Why? Blind, overweening ambition. The presentation had to come first. Instead of flying off with the woman I love on a holiday I've slaved 4 years to swing, I had to prove to the president that I was the hottest little creative director in our country.
Lady, can you keep your kids out of here? This guy could be dead.
Andrew, Jennifer, come back here right now!
Listen, fella, there's going to be an ambulance here in a couple of minutes. Just relax.
I don't think he hears you.
Look, if you can understand what I'm saying, just give us some little sign. I mean, move a finger or blink an eye.
Not a sign. There's just nothing there.
I wonder if this is what they call cardiac arrest.
Whatever it is, Dr. Kildare, it's not cardiac arrest. I can hear you. I can see you.
Come on, Bernice, I only got 10 days vacation. I'm just
my mind's on. Functioning. It's all there. Yeah, rushing back from the airport. That bastard veering into my lane, the brakes seizing, and that endless rolling.
His spinal cord might be severed. You know, you get like total paralysis.
Yeah, that could be it.
God, what is this? The Mayo Clinic of the ditch? Well, I don't panic easily. Not when I can feel pain in my forehead and my ankle, which is probably broken, and you can't feel pain with a severed spinal cord.
Get that damn dog out of here!
Don't you let him
know!
Here comes the ambulance!
Okay, folks, your jaws are out of the way. The ambulance has to get through here, guys. Come on! That's it, let's make some room.
All right, everybody, going out of the road. Are you first on the scene?
Yeah, I was in the car right behind. Some guy cut right in front of him.
Yeah. Hit him?
No, but he braked real hard. The car went into a roll about 100 yards back.
We put a blanket over him and tried to talk to him, but he doesn't seem able to speak or even move, and I couldn't feel any pulse.
I think it might be cardiac arrest.
Well, now, we'll just let the doctor figure that out. You all strapped the jury in, Ron?
Ready to go. Out of the way.
All right, watch.
Stand back.
Where do we stand, Neville Edwards? On the negative side, I can't move a muscle, and I can't communicate. But on the positive, though, I'm not bleeding. My mind's certainly alert, and, well, I'm off to get fixed up.
These people, they're always the same, eh, Ron?
Yeah, always want to play doctor.
Probably some kind of muscle spasm. Well, those guys at the hospital will know what to do. One little shot of relaxant, and I could be on my way to Havana tomorrow.
You know, Ron, that guy might be right.
You mean about cardiac arrest?
Yeah.
Want me to try a couple of thumps on his chest?
Are you kidding? You know the law as well as I do. No, don't touch him.
Better to bring him in dead than break the law, eh?
Exactly.
Keep it up, clowns. I don't panic easily. And if I have to feel sorry for anybody, how about the president and senior account executive of the biggest ad agency in Toronto? Yeah, plus 3 Chrysler vice presidents. All of them sitting around the old boardroom waiting for me to breeze in, open the magic briefcase, and extol their $2 million media campaign. They'll be well into their 5th drink before they realize they've been stood up.
Nothing at all, Doctor?
Not a trace of a heartbeat. I nearly shoved my fist through his sternum with this compression. It's not working.
Doctor, for God's sake, look at my eyes. They're all I've got to try and tell you. You're on the wrong track.
Same old story, nurse. Just a little too late with the cardiopulmonary therapy. This man died in the ambulance.
Well, at least it's not our failure, Doctor.
All the way in that ambulance, his brain cells were dying at the rate of millions a minute. And the attendants weren't allowed to touch him. This late, even if I got his heart going, he'd be a vegetable.
This crazy nightmare can end if you'll just get a few more opinions. Find out what's doing this. It's just some little spasm.
Well,
I've got 3 hours of surgery facing me in the OR. Couple bumpers.
Oh, my God. No. No. This can't be happening. It's not real. Don't bury me alive. Somebody try to understand. I am alive.
I'm an orderly doctor.
Right. Oh, nurse. Before they take him downstairs to the morgue, remember to check his wallet for ID.
Yes, doctor. I'll notify his next of kin. They can make arrangements for the body to be removed to a funeral parlor.
No. 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 No!
Sorry we have to put you through this, sir. It's always a bit rough.
Yes, I don't exactly look forward to
it. We finally located his wife, but she's in Cuba.
Mm-hmm. Janice flew down just this morning.
It was her wish that we phone his office and have someone come to the hospital morgue to make positive identification. This is it here.
Ernie Jackson.
Yes, nurse, it is. It's Neville Edwards.
Good old, slow, methodical Ernie. Nobody's gonna rush Ernie. Thank God.
Nurse, do you mind if I ask one or two questions? I mean, this whole thing's very hard to grasp.
Certainly, I understand.
See, I guess I was expecting him to be badly smashed up. There's hardly a mark. What was the...
He died of cardiac arrest. Probably in the ambulance.
Don't buy it, Ernie. Don't buy it. You never took anybody's word for anything.
Who examined him, nurse?
Dr. Harvey Bateman. Very experienced and competent.
Was he the only doctor? Didn't he check with others to be perfectly sure?
That's it, Ernie. That's it. Ernie, you skeptical old bugger.
I can assure you, sir, everything was done. Dr. Bateman does not make snap decisions with human lives. Excuse me, I'll have to get that. Be back in a minute.
That's right, Ernie. Stare at me. Don't take your eyes off me. I'm gonna make you understand. Just like hundreds of times before when we read each other's thoughts. Ernie, over a drink or a desk.
Cardiac arrest. Does that mean a heart can never start up again in its own good time? Yeah, England, they used to put little bells on your coffin with a string leading inside so you could ring it if you came back to life. It happens sometimes.
Good boy, Ernie.
Mind you... would cause a real fuss around this place. I'd step on a lot of toes if I checked this thing out.
Do it, Ernie. Do it.
But shock isn't enough. I need to feel some grief, and damn it, I don't.
Ernie?
That's right, Neville Edwards. I don't feel anything. Felt a lot more grief the day Janice phoned to say I could have my ring back.
Ernie, it wasn't my fault. We just fell in love.
I felt a much bigger stab in the heart the day our venerable president called me in to explain that perhaps my finest contribution to the agency lay in grinding out copy. Didn't even have the guts to admit he was just pushing his fair-haired boy up the ladder.
Ernie, it wasn't my decision. I never asked for your job.
You charmed them all, didn't you, Edwards? And talk about ruthless drive. God, there were times when I thought of doing this to you myself.
Ernie, please.
And look
Ernie,
at those
please.
Eyes. Even now. Making me think you might possibly still be alive. They're too bright. Too intense for a dead man. Then again, maybe you are dead. Just plotting to make it through the pearly gates first and beat all those other poor suckers who died today.
Sorry to leave you here by yourself, sir. Have you had enough time?
Yes, I think we're all finished here, nurse. Thank you.
No. No! Damn you, Jackson! You're killing me, you swine! You're killing me! How long have I been lying here, listening to the rain? If it wasn't for that sickening disinfectant and this cold enamel table, it could be my own room at home, with Mom and Dad sleeping right next to it. I loved to lie and listen to the rain at night when I was a kid. And just as I got sleepy, the bedroom door would always open, and there'd be Mom, bringing in my mug of cocoa. She'd stop at the side of my bed, and she'd slowly lean over me. There'd always be a wisp of hair falling down. And she'd kiss me goodnight. Oh, stop it, stop it! You know bloody well who's standing over you now.
Well, James, I think we'll begin by closing that window.
Right away, Mr. Miller.
In this age of refrigeration, I don't think we need the chill night air to preserve a human body. Thank you, James. By the way, it's very good of you to come out on a night like this. Sorry I had to call you.
Oh, that's quite all right, Mr. Miller.
Well, it was very decent of you to help me out in this little emergency. You've had your dinner?
Oh, yes, sir. And I really hadn't planned anything for this evening, so there's no problem.
Well, not exactly no problem, James. I'm very upset at the conduct of Mr. Osborne. Preparation of the deceased was to have begun at 6 o'clock. At 7:20, he phoned that he would not be coming in. Severe head cold.
I know he was feeling pretty low yesterday, sir.
Then he might have been civil enough to give us the same advance warning the cold gave him.
Yes, Mr. Miller.
Osborne is a very talented mortician, but I will not put up with his irresponsibility. Like yourself, he showed great promise when he started with the firm, but over the years, he's gradually declined into a devil-may-care attitude. Not good enough.
Well, like I said, Mr. Miller, I don't mind filling in.
I know that, James. And that's precisely why you will be replacing Mr. Osborne as of this moment.
Mr. Miller, I've really only been with you for a year. And Mr. Osborne...
Only a year, yes. But in that time, I've been deeply impressed. Not only with your work, but your eagerness to learn and your dedication to the profession.
Thank you, sir. I'd just like to say...
Now then, James, I should think, cosmetically speaking, this will not be a late evening.
Yes, I was just noticing, sir. There's hardly a mark on him.
You know, James, I think I almost prefer the opposite.
The opposite?
I hope you won't think me callous, but when there has been extensive damage, graphic indication that death has laid his hand on someone, I feel it helps us accept the finality.
I don't think I'll ever be able to accept it, Mr. Miller. Especially when I see ones like this.
And just what do you mean by that, James?
His eyes. I'm not squeamish. I think you'll agree to that, sir. And I've handled every type of embalming.
And quite skillfully, let me add.
But since I've been with Miller Chapman, I've never had such a feeling when I look at their eyes. I could swear his eyes have been following me, afraid to lose me, wanting to tell me something.
Yes, James, that's it. Don't take your eyes off mine. Keep staring. I am willing you to understand. Keep looking at me.
James, let me tell you something. But first I'll close these poor staring eyes.
No. Oh, dear God. No.
There we are. I think that will help.
I'm sorry, Mr. Miller. I'm a little embarrassed.
No need to be, James. On the contrary, I think you've shown what I've always felt you to be. A sensitive and caring young man. The kind we need in our service.
Thank you, sir.
However, James, let me give you some... Well, I don't really like the term, but... some forewarning of what strange things lie ahead as you move on in this profession.
What do you mean, Mr. Miller?
James, in this very room and on this very table, I have seen the eye of a dead man blink, the finger of a dead man move, the lips of a dead man twitch.
I've never seen anything like that, Mr. Miller.
You will, James, you will. And no matter how many years of experience you've had, it will indeed disturb you. But, James, always remember this. Though chilling in the extreme, these are all perfectly natural, posthumous reactions. Simply a matter of muscles, tissue, and tendons, weary of life, finally settling into beautiful repose. Now then, I have something I want you to do.
Certainly, Mr. Miller.
I spoke on the telephone today with Ernest Jackson, a close friend of the deceased.
A rotten bastard.
Now, this Mr. Jackson has spoken earlier to the deceased wife.
Janice.
Apparently, there is a beige gabardine suit. I believe the deceased was married in it. And his wife is most anxious that he be buried, laid to rest in it. Now, Mr. Jackson assured me he would get the suit and bring it here by 6 this evening. However, like Mr. Osborne, he hasn't turned up. Now, we do need that suit, James, so if you'd be good enough to go to this address...
I know that street, sir. It's only about a 20-minute walk from here.
It'll be a lot faster and drier in my car. Now, here are the keys. Car's in the driveway.
Thanks, Mr. Milne. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Yes, indeed. Very fine, promising young man, James. Just as you probably were in your field of endeavor. Yes, good face, intelligent, unlined. The short years allowed you must have been untroubled. I suppose an adoring and supportive young wife would have to be part of that piece. Yes, yes. They phoned the sad news to her in Havana. She's flying back about 9 in the morning. Doesn't leave us much time.
Janice. Love.
Life's intriguing little mysteries. He sends her off to Havana. He's killed driving back from the airport. Now, why would he send her off alone?
Janice. Love, I'm sorry. You begged me to come, even on the way to the airport. But with a lifetime ahead of us, one day seems so little to give up. A lifetime. Oh, God. Janice. Janice.
Well, then, for the face, I think a number 5 will do. And over that base and the slight bruise near the temple, I think a number 7. What's that? You idiot. After your resounding lecture to young James, you let your own glasses make a fool of you. What are you seeing, thing? Glasses haven't been cleaned for a week. Thank goodness James isn't here. Embarrassing if he saw this silly trembling in my hands. Now then, slip the glasses back on and look again. It's still there. Not an optical illusion. But I've never seen this before.
Well, you're seeing it now. And take a long, hard look, you smug bastard. Because I want you to remember it for the rest of your life. God, my 11th hour miracle. I'm crying. I can feel the tears running down my cheeks.
This can't be happening. It's against all reason. Tears coursing down a dead man's cheeks. I've got to be sure. Better phone upstairs. Can't go ahead without a medical opinion.
Yes, Miller, you do that. They'll tell you quick enough. A corpse doesn't cry.
Mind you, if the man is dead, if such a thing can happen after his demise, I'll be the laughing stock of the profession. I can just see it in the funeral trade papers. 30-year veteran of profession, Wilbur Miller, goofs. Well, I'll take the risk. If only the hospital would pick up the phone. Hello. Yes, this is Wilbur Miller of the Miller Chapman Funeral Home. At approximately 11:30 this morning, a traffic accident victim was brought to the emergency admitting center of your hospital. The victim's name was Neville Edwards. Yes, would you please check and give me the name of the doctor who attended? Yes, I will. Nurse, hello, are you there? Yes, could you please hurry? It's very urgent. Thank you. Hello? Yes. Yes, that's the one, and the doctor's name. Dr. Harvey Bateman. I'd like to speak to him as quickly as possible, please. I see. No, this can't wait until tomorrow. Give me his home number, please. Pardon? Look, I'm not some crank. This is an emergency. I can assure you that... Oh, blast. Charles will know. And he's probably a better doctor than Bateman. Charles, it's Wilbur. I'd like to get your opinion on an urgent matter. No, nothing personal. Would you say it's possible for a deceased person to... It sounds so bizarre. I mean, can the tear ducts function posthumously? I see. Yes. I was hoping to hear that, Charles. Thank you so much. Absolutely incredible. Well, there's no time to be lost. Come on. You've got to be there. It's the Miller Chapman Funeral Home, 343 Glengrove Drive. I want an ambulance over here as quickly as possible. Yes? Yes. Ask the driver to come up on the side driveway. The door will be open. I'll be waiting for him. Right. Tell him to go straight to the basement. Thank you. God help him. He's alive. And those eyes, I closed. That desperate stare that bothered young James so much. He was listening, understanding everything we were saying. It's too ghastly to think about. Oh, God. What he must have gone through.
Sir, where do we go from here?
James, you gave me quite a start. I thought you were going to drive
I've
over
got
and
the
pick
suit,
up...
sir. Mr. Jackson was just pulling up out front as I backed out of the driveway. Boy, that was close. I missed his front bumper by about an inch. Mr. Miller?
Yes?
Are you all right, sir?
Yes. Yes, I...
You look sort of shaken up.
I'm all right. But, James, I have something to tell you.
If you want to go home, sir, I can finish up.
No.
There's only the cosmetic work to be done.
What?
Yes, sir. When I came back and you were gone, I went ahead on my own. He's finished, Mr. Miller. He's embalmed.
You have just heard Where Do We Go From Here? By Max Ferguson. Neil Munro starred as the unfortunate Neville Edwards, with Colin Fox as Miller and Michael Wincott as James. The ambulance drivers were Arch McDonald and Grant Rohl. David Calderisi played the doctor, and Mary Peary was heard as the nurse. John Stocker played Ernie, and others in the cast were Corrine Langston and Gordon Thompson. Our recording engineer is John Jessup, with sound effects by Kathy Parry and Bill Robinson. Our production assistants are Doris Buchanan and Nancy McElveen, and our story editor is Earl Toppings. Nightfall is produced and directed for CBC Radio by Bill Howell.
That's the show for this week. I'll be back next Saturday with another one. In between now and then, you can find more from Nightfall, past episodes of The Horror, everything else Relic Radio at relicradio.com. Our Shoutcast stream is there and our donate button. If you'd like to help support this and all the shows, give that button a click. It's how this is all made possible. My thanks as always to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Saturday with another episode of The Horror.